This is quite a set of readings, is it not? When Pastor Kimberly and I were looking at dates into this part of the year for me to preach, this one worked very well for her as she was planning to be away, and I said, absolutely, yes, sure, I'll be there. I did not at the time look at the readings. They are challenging ones, are they not? They are full of conflict. And I don't know about you, but I know quite a few people that certainly like to avoid conflict. In fact, one of the interview questions that I ask summer staff in the process to hiring them is, if you are one of the people in conflict, how do you deal with conflict? The ones who answer, I go and have a conversation, get a check mark, excellent, good. The ones who answer, honestly, I avoid it, also get a check mark. But I am sure that there are those that have said, I go and confront it, that maybe weren't being entirely truthful. But that's part of the process of living into a community, a group of people gathered together. But groups of people gather together all the time. Concerts, plays, and movie theaters at church, social media, restaurants, national parks, even beaches. Gatherings are planned, like birthday parties, or the known weekly gathering of people in church. Or it could be the daily stuff like work or school, planned gatherings of people. But sometimes these gatherings are just random. It just so happens that people come together in a restaurant. Perhaps you recognized somebody in that place, but maybe not. And cumulatively, the folks in that place probably all didn't plan to be there on that Wednesday evening at 5:30. It just so happened that they were there. And certainly open spaces like Creation and designated areas like state parks draw people in, but usually on an individual path or for a family gathering. These aren't quite the same as a community. In the past few years, people who study people and our communities have noticed a decline of what they might call the third space. The first being home, the second work or school, and the third may have been church or the mall, some place where people gather together, meet up friends, and develop a community. The thought was for some that cyberspace of social media and the like would become this new third space. Even in the past few decades, these spaces have changed as culture has changed, this third space. At some point, perhaps even still, cyberspaces are positioned in this way to be the ultimate third space. But they are not without flaws and problems. What these spaces propose is a place to gather, certainly. But sometimes there's this element of advertising them with an almost salvific quality. But these places are missing a couple of crucial ingredients. At large, these spaces are sometimes accused of missing community, although they certainly do gather people together. And community, as Jesus describes, needs two things: trust and compassion. We can certainly look at these places, real or virtual, and accuse it of missing these things. But we also ought not to ignore our own community, here and in the church at large. Are we gathered with the intention or the desire to be trustworthy and compassionate? Trust and compassion are the things that are propelling Jesus' section of the Sermon on the Mount here in the Gospel of Matthew. They follow right after the Beatitudes, which can seem startlingly contrasting. And they seem to flow quite quickly into topics of tension, which pleasantly or unpleasantly align with the other readings of the day. The community in Corinthians in conflict, the early community that Moses is trying to hold together in conflict. Even the psalmist is crying out, asking for rule followers who might be in conflict. Today, this passage can also read with an uncomfortability as our own culture has shifted. And yet there is an energy and a message behind each of the examples that are given here, which still has incredible worth and value, in spite of centuries of change. The progression here is clever. Jesus is such a good preacher, right? Jesus starts with the easiest point of entry and works toward a communal ethic. Don't murder is where Jesus starts. To begin in this way, Jesus makes explicitly clear here that this action destroys trust. Even one's own anger can destroy trust, and certainly breaks down compassion. And therefore, it destroys the community. This example preaches much the same today as it does then. Anger hasn't changed very much, right? Anger breaks down relationships, especially when allowed to fester. And realistically, as one commentary quips for these readings, you aren't going to be preaching to a room full of murderers. Okay, checkbox. We can follow along with the rules that Jesus is setting forth here. The progression then here becomes more challenging in light of our time. Anger, like I said, is common and not hard to align with today. But it gets more complicated when we move into the section on divorce, which is high on this list. But it was the talk of the time. Different schools of thought were attempting to make clear ethical guides on the topic. And they varied drastically. On one end, opinions allowed for divorce in almost any case. A bad dinner, end of relationship. A forgotten anniversary, it's over. You mess up Valentine's Day, it's over. It seems a little bit silly, right? But this was happening, and Jesus saw this and is responding to it and sees that even in that action, it is breaking relationships and tearing down the community. And so Jesus falls in line with the other side of this argument, which is to only allow for divorce in extreme instances. Jesus lands close to this side. To be clear, Jesus is not saying one should stay in a relationship if trust has already been broken. Domestic abuse of any kind is not excused by Jesus, simply for the sake of just staying married. To that end, this passage for the church can't be used as some kind of weapon against those for whom a relationship didn't work. Which is not to follow the thought that divorce can be flippant. But, on the other hand, if there is not trust, compassion, or love, it is okay for things to drift apart and change for the sake of a community, for love and compassion and trust. It can be difficult from the outside within a community to see these changes happening and to maintain a level of truthfulness and compassion. Extremely difficult where perspectives on the situation, the relationship, are so drastically varied. But I think this is where an effort, a call for us, is to listen. Maybe not offer advice immediately. To listen. And to listen to some more. And to be present for other people in that moment. It is crucial to building a community which Jesus is talking about. It may not be time to speak, rather simply to be with people who are so wrapped up in brokenness. Trust and compassion. Next is the way we might make vows or spoken covenants. Again, this section can be tough in that we rarely trust what someone else says these days. Unfortunate, but true reality in which we live in these days. A level of skepticism is in the ears and eyes of all on the internet. Complicating the ethic here, this is not actually that bad of a thing. Otherwise, though, we do not typically enter into covenants and agreements by spoken word. This is something which was prominent centuries ago, but rarely exists in these days. Now, there needs to be a signature, a click of a button for an e-signature, to verify one's promise, one's word, in a contract, as different from a covenant. In Jesus' time, the spoken word was the action which sealed the deal. And yet today, we only really make vows or even witness them in a wedding. But even then, it is followed by signatures and official paperwork. The way we agree to things is more often like a contract than a covenant. And I don't see this changing very soon. Or ever now. Although the process of making a covenant, I think, stands as an invaluable exercise in being truthful and compassionate. It stands in contrast to the way the rest of the world runs. Covenants are an equal exchange of care and building, speaking, or writing. One of these covenants takes a lot of time. And a lot of trust. I know this from personal experience as a summer staff attempted to write a covenant for each other for 3 months that they would be living and staying and working together. It took hours. This word isn't the right word. We should use this word instead. Well, I like this word better. And then there were those in the back that just gave up entirely. But we finished one. We wrote one. And while in that moment it was representative of conflict, it also spoke to the ways that we agreed to live together. Our discourse with each other in any scenario must be founded on honesty, truthfulness, and love. Jesus is asking us, in the process of building the kingdom of God, to speak with such clarity of intentions. Let your yes simply be yes, and a no simply be a no. Again at camp, we talk a lot about conflict, because it comes up a lot. And those conversations help the staff to care for each other throughout the rigors of summer. It's preparation beforehand, again, sort of like a covenant, to build trust and compassion, which ultimately helps them to care for campers, guests, and volunteers with love. but I can't think of very many gatherings of people who commit to this kind of work so often. But it is so, so good for communities to talk about conflict before it ever arises. But at camp, we have the convenience of ending that community and then rebuilding it again in a year. Start over once again. But in other places, it can be easy to keep moving on without doing some much-needed maintenance. That way of tending may be to check in on communication, to acknowledge that perhaps there is conflict, and perhaps we need to address it in a different way, a way that allows for honesty, truth, compassion, and most of all, love. So here, in these readings, are all of these ways in which brokenness shows up in communities that are so very, very old, and ways that we can act now which continue to shatter relationships and communities. But Jesus is offering us an answer for how we might live together in a good community with trust and compassion. These two things are the foundation on which we are to live with one another. And they are this way because that is what God, through Christ, has first given to us. Love and salvation, which is true and so very real. May we keep Christ at the center of our hearts and minds as we build community each and every day with trustworthiness and compassion. Thanks be to God.